You're listening to Radio Influence.
Sometimes in Bisbee, I'll take two Xanax and two laxatives, and I'll play chicken in my sleep. I'll play chicken in my sleep. I'll play chicken in my sleep. I'll take two X-lax, two Xanax, play chicken in my sleep. I'll play chicken in my sleep. I'll play chicken in my sleep. I'm just trying to point out to you how lazy songwriters are. You overrated, do nothing, over-celebrated, lazy motherfucker. You have 3 minutes to fill a song and you say the same shit over and over and over. I have to do an hour and 10 minutes up here. Every word has to be different. They all have to go in one direction. They can't be open to interpretation because they don't make sense and they're kooky. Yes, and I get dick. You get fucking Grammy Awards and accolades and pussy, and I get a hot shot of Jägermeister for my trouble. You got 3 minutes? Yes, Sally has to slow the Mustang down. I understand that. What's the rest of the story? You already said it once. It's a chorus. No, it's sloth. Right?
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210-story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
nervous pill. System of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy red can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
11truth.org.
Doubt.
WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
Two laxatives and two Xanax, and I'll play chicken in my sleep. See, he actually hit the punchline earlier. Crowd went crazy, and then he hit you with, it's so true. I get it. You know, all rock and roll, most songs, they go all the way back to the blues, okay? The only real form of music ever originated here in America, and there are hooks and verses. And there's a reason that those choruses and the, as Stanhope loves to say, lazy motherfuckers who write a song, they just, you know. Now, there's two sides of that. You're driving with your top down and it's a gorgeous day outside and you want some cruising music. And you put on, I don't know, fill in the blank right now. You fill in your song. You put on, bam. And it makes you feel good, and it's just, you know, it's fluff. Let's face it, it's fluff. It's not to make you think. It is certainly not to to stimulate anything that might honestly poke you the wrong way and go, seriously, what? You know, this is before Google. You know? I'm running my levels a little hot here. Hang on a second. That's better. Too hot. Welcome to Dangerous Conversation for February 1st. Holy shit, it's February already. That's awesome. Windows are open. Middle of the day. There is not a cloud in the sky. I know some of you you know, we have listeners from outside the country, and like people, we have people in Alaska listening. I'm still waiting for my first Antarctica listener, but that'll be badass. Some guy's like underground for 6 months, and here I am, 68 degrees, just, you know, this is what they call Chamber of Commerce weather. When you want people to move to your country or your state, and they show up on a day like this, it's gorgeous out, so the windows are open. You might hear a chopper. I just heard a helicopter go by. It adds to the ambiance. I kind of like it a little bit. Yeah. We're going to, I don't think we're going to focus on Frank Zappa, but I am going to talk a little bit about music, media, movies that are, or did, like the movie They Live. You know, I'm actually going to play an Alex Jones interview today. What was the last time I played any AJ? You know, I know his enterprise is bigger and bigger. And what he needs to do is find what we call P1 listeners. They're very loyal listeners. Well, that means they usually 80% have a tendency to lean one way or the other. You know, Rachel Maddow leans one way, and Alex Jones, you know, 5-6 years ago, Alex Jones, maybe a little bit more. I think I've mentioned this before. He's mentioned, and I don't know if he was trying to appeal to everyone, but he started talking a little bit more about spirituality and less religion. And he, you know, obviously he leaned right, and the majority of his listeners were, not all of them are Christian based. Some are conspiratorial, but at the end of the day, here in 2017, Alex had to pick something. I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm just saying, you know, when the Young Turks are coming out with their own new literal political party, we'll talk about that if this thing comes to fruition, but it looks like it just might. More of a progressive than liberal, leaning maybe more towards socialism, stuff like that. But Alex was, you know, when he started off, you know, years ago, when I first saw him, he was on, you know, Access Television. He had a little blue carpet hanging behind him. That was his blue screen. And he was all about, they're lying to you. Now, you know, he's endorsed a candidate. Hillary Clinton obviously was intertwined with the military-industrial complex, Big Pharma, Wall Street, all of those things. And that's obvious and easy, very easy to point out. And that's why I didn't like her. But Donald Trump is a game changer. And I don't mean he's like good or bad. I just mean he is polarizing as fuck. And nobody, there's not a person in this country that doesn't have an opinion at all about Donald Trump. Now, if that's what it takes to wake people up and make people start to, you know, when the more you engage a subject, the more you know, you want to defend your side and oh my God, Facebook is alive with that. And it's a good thing because bam, bam, people are going back and forth in this and he's misogyny his name and back and forth. And I'm like, you know what? That is part of waking up. That is part of paying attention. I think that's really what it means. You're just paying more attention. Now, each policy or, you know, executive order or the things that are signed, they go into that matrix of conversation. And it's healthy. I don't mean I like him. I think he's going to be a clusterfuck. But, you know, he's done 3 or 4 things I like. He shot down the TPP. He kind of pulled the Joint Chiefs out of a position or two of influence. Just, I think, yesterday or the day before, he started to reach out to the... I always get this wrong. It's like LGBT. It's like, you keep adding letters. You know, pretty soon your acronym is going to be like, you know, it's going to look like a Russian alphabet. So a couple of the things this man's done, I'm like, yep, thumbs up. And quite a bit. Obviously, the unconstitutional. You got to remember, it's an unconstitutional ban to keep people from coming here. Now, my friend Richard, who I rent a room with, he says these people need to be vetted. I'm like, you know what? I don't totally disagree with that. If you're worried about terrorism, as we all are in this country, I'm not, but the whole country's worried about terrorism, and they want to point to all the hate
words and specific phrases in the Quran and the Muslims and so on and so forth. So if you're at that point where you're finally paying attention and you're not watching some stupid TV show, I know, you know me, I'm about balance. Get your escapism, you know, get your release. If you, you know, you like The Walking Dead or whatever it is you watch, that's cool. That's absolutely, you know, you need that. I need that. We all need that. We all need that. But if you're a slave to your TV and you believe everything you're being told, and we're going to feature some interviews from Frank Zappa tonight talking about that kind of stuff, we are, as far as I'm concerned, as a nation, far more engaged now in the process than we have been in the last 8 years. Ironically, isn't that funny? Yeah, people were protesting the Iraq and Afghanistan wars when Bush was in office by the millions or tens of thousands at least, or hundreds of thousands. And then poof, it's like 2008, hope and promise. Poof, it's like, poof, it just disappeared. Like, it was like, it's like some cheesy special effects from Bewitched. Poof, Dr. Bombay's gone. Where'd he go? He was just there. The anti-war movement, of course, most of the time, if you go all the way back to the 60s, has leaned left. Well, their man was in office. And meanwhile, we're invading Libya, we're invading Syria, Somalia, Sudan. You know, it, Barack Obama's in office. Where are the protesters? Where are the engaged people? They're not there anymore. And that's when you see the partisanship. Okay. Now, the opposite is true, of course. Now we have people on the right who claim to be a little bit more conservative and Christian right. And we have a man who's been anything but Jesus-like. He's our dude. You got to look the other way, man. You know, okay? You know, Trumpster's not totally, you know, cool, but he's not totally bogus either. Can you tell I've been watching Bill and Ted? So that's where we are at. And since I don't pick a side, and people go, oh, you never commit. I go, no. You don't never commit. You know what the word commit, if you add committed, you know what that means? They lock you in a fucking room because you've lost your identity. You've lost your soul. Yeah, I'm committed. I'm committed to go, what the fuck is the truth? That's it. That's it. That's why cannabis has been held back. What's the truth about that plant? Why is Big Pharma, you know, just look at what's going on. People are passionate about that now. And now people are actually getting passionate about their political parties. Now, if you're conservative and you're a Christian and, you know, you want to keep your kids innocent and you think media's gone out of control and, you know, you think sex isn't bad, but you want your kid to stay a virgin. I mean, you have every right to be that person. But I have every right to go, there's some inconsistencies in your beliefs, because if you're all about war and you say you're a Christian, ooh, that's a slippery slope, don't you think? You're attacking my religion. No, I'm questioning the consistency of it. That's what I do. That's why having no take, no lean left or lean right, leaves you free. I always say I look down on the issues. I don't have to look like, oh, I got to look over there. Oh, no, someone's looking over me. I look down on all of it. It's freeing. It's very freeing. And there are people that are now getting to that point. Frank Zappa. I mean, Christ. When he was still around, and some of my buddy Steve in high school was really into him. And the beauty of Zappa is he never wanted to play the same song the same way twice. He'll, you know, that's what improvisation is all about. If you're just, okay, that's a riff. But what if you change it almost every time you play it? And that's how his mind worked, was I don't want to conform. I don't want to be this person that suddenly, you know, I'm just a hit machine. I'm actually going to play some cool audio. And one of them, for you old farts like me, is Dr. Demento. I used to play him Sunday nights on Rock 102, like early. It's Dr. Demento. No, wait a minute. That's Harry Carey. Doctor, I can't do him. So, but anyways, he played parody songs. And it's Dr. Demento with his big hat on interviewing Frank Zappa.
It's awesome. And he asked him the typical question, and we'll get to that. So what is happening? I know it's frustrating if you lean left and you see Donald Trump in office. And I know it's frustrating if you lean right and you think, Barack Hussein Obama was a Muslim and he was out to underroot your Christianity and all those things. You know what? You have a right to have you that opinion. I'm sure it's part of your upbringing. I'm sure it's the framework that created you and made you the way you are. And that is the beauty of diversity. But aren't you at least curious about the truth? And that was my epiphany in 2004. I was just rolling along being the DJ guy on the radio. I was an afternoon drive jock. It wasn't my job to be controversial. It was my job to play tunes and be clever for 20 seconds in between, hit the post, cue with traffic. And I knew that if I was going to get better in my industry, I was stuck. I was pigeonholed. Crap Channel or iFart or whatever you call them. Wait a minute.
Here we go.
It's like having intro music when you're a wrestler. And when I talk of iFart, iHeart, you gotta play this music, man. You know why? Ask the Dixie Chicks. Ask the Dixie Chicks if you can have an opinion. Ask Dale Earnhardt. Look out. Is it Dale? No. I'm not a NASCAR guy. This kid. What the fuck's this kid's name? I don't watch NASCAR. I know he sold a lot of Budweiser. That's the... there we go. Yeah, Dale Earnhardt Jr. See, I was close. That was ballpark. That was ballpark. So, part of, and, you know, this goes back to Mitt Romney buying, and his company buying Clear Channel at the time. This was just before the 08 collapse. I think the stock price was at about $35. And then they bottomed out. And they basically had to buy it at whatever the stock was when the transaction gone through. And by the time that happened, remember, the 08 collapse was created by the banks. We know that. And it's the same thing they did back in the 30s. Money's not real, but tangible ownership of something is. So if you owe me a lot of money and I can repossess your house, now I have a tangible object. I have a home or I have a business. So when they undermined us, and they do it periodically, that's what they call the boom-bust cycle. They actually do get, I guess what you could call real wealth for their fake money. So what happened in 08, it wasn't a collapse, it was engineered. But what happened to Clear Channel at the time was, you know, newspapers were already losing advertisers. Radio, you know, when you're a business and you're in the red and you've been advertising at a local radio station and you need to make budget, you cut out your advertising. So not only at the same time did their stock drop, all the advertisers left, not all of them, but the majority, and radio took it right up the wazoo. Why would Mitt Romney want to buy a dying industry? And it's dying. It's withering on the vine. It is becoming what we do here. It's the talent and the, you know, it is, cream always rises to the top. So that's what podcasts are. But why would Mitt Romney want to buy a business? He could have paid a penalty, a big one. I think it was several, like maybe even $100 million or something. I can't remember what it was to get out of the deal. Like, oh my God, their stock has collapsed. The industry, blah, blah, blah. You know, he could have stroked a check. Why would he want to own Clear Channel? Why? Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not saying that a left-leaner, and a lot of people always talk about George Soros. I'm sure he's funding half the shit that is up against the other half of shit that maybe the Koch brothers are funding on the right.
that left-right paradigm is going back and forth, that's obvious. But why would Romney want to buy that unless you want to control the message? 1,200 sticks in hundreds of markets. If you want people to believe a certain thing, I think it's Goering, didn't he say it? Just say it over and over and over again. And eventually it would become truth. So that's really what happened. And I stumbled upon a Frank Zappa video today, and I found the song very entertaining. And it has Don Pardo. This is actually, I'm going to play this for you here in a sec. It actually is a Saturday Night Live performance. And the beauty of the video is look at how many different people Zappa has in his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think, and who knows if the SNL band is chiming in at the time. The beauty of Frank Zappa was nonconformity. Not nonconformity to be cool, nonconformity by realizing in the end you are doing yourself in. You are hurting your own world. And that's why I played that Stanhope piece to open it up. Is if you're an artist, then fucking create. Don't try to be popular. You know, 1 in 100,000 people. If you don't have the voice, and by the way, look what's happened to those people. They sign contracts. They literally sell their soul. They're in shopping malls 5 years later. There's a thing about the industry. If you listen to the opening of Dangerous Conversation, you hear the man essentially refer to the Fourth Estate. Media is the lifeblood of a democracy. Without it, it shuts down. And it's always worked that way. And now people are looking at Orwell's books, and the reason we're going to play the Alex Jones interview is the movie They Live, which is about total conformity. And you not seeing the people that want you to do that unless, you know, you're Roddy Piper and you're wearing cool shades. I think they're Ray-Bans. I don't know. But anyways, you put them on, you can see the world as it is. You take them off and you're stuck back in the illusion. So I'm going to play this track. It is called I Am the Slime. It is about essentially the media, though it refers to the TV. But the neat thing was I was watching it and I was like, holy shit, they're live. And on a giant chalkboard, there's a spoken word in the middle of it that a generic guy did in the studio album version of it. But since they're doing it live, it's fucking Don Pardo. So check this out. I'll be back in about 3 minutes. Here we go. And yeah, it's typical Zappa, man.
Destined to rule and regulate you. I might be vile and pernicious, but you can't look away. I make you think I'm delicious with the stuff that I say. I'm the best you can get. Have you guessed me yet? I'm the slime oozing out from your...
Take it away, Don Pardo!
You will obey me while I lead you and eat the garbage that I feed you until the day that we don't need you. Don't go for help. No one will heed you. Your mind is totally controlled. It has been stuffed into my mold. And you will do as you are told until the rights to you are sold. Take it away, Frank.
That's so cool.
That's right.
That's right, Don.
It's a great video. At the end of the video, you got to remember, this is what, I don't know, I look at the data of this, but Slime, they actually had, I don't know, like, let's say one, two, three, maybe eight different little, I don't know, they were pumping goo. I know I do that quite often. They were, and it was literally dripping down a TV set. It's not like they did CGI version of it. They actually took some type of, I don't know, foam or something. And it was, I stumbled upon it. I was like, man, I've heard this song once, but I've never seen this performance. Pretty fucking cool. Absolutely. I want to get into Zappa here. And let me see, the video I need is this one. There's some great audio and great interview here. It is montage. It is separate little interviews. I think this is the one that starts with Dr. Demento. Now, if you don't know who Dr. Demento is, in the 70s and a little bit into the 80s, you know, a guy like Weird Al would always be a top 10 record on Dr. Demento. He would play goofy songs, parody songs, crazy songs, you know, itsy bitsy teeny wee. He basically made a living as a DJ who played obscure, most of the time, funny or weird music. Purple People Eaters and all those kind of records that came out over the decades. So watching Dr. Demento interview Frank Zappa, I was like, holy shit, this is so cool. So here we go. Let's make sure we get a volume up. And
Frank, you're one of the most accomplished musicians active today.
Now, Dr. Demento is sitting in a jacket. He always wore a jacket and a top hat, like half a tux, but he's got the NBC Peacock t-shirt on. And he had a big beard and crazy glasses, and he's kind of like Rip Torn on the radio. Or is it Rip Taylor? Who's the guy that throws the confetti? Rip Taylor? Yeah, Rip Torn's the actor. Okay, he's like Rip Taylor on the radio.
Why don't you sit down and write a top 40 hit song sometime?
I could do it if I wanted, but even if I did, the chances of it getting played on a top 40 radio station are not very good.
Why is that?
Because of the attitudes of programmers, and there's a certain political rigmarole that one must go through in order to have a top 40 record, including special types of presents to certain people in the industry. And that's something that I don't wish to be involved in.
You said rock and roll was only for people who were cute at one point. Do you think rock and roll is still for people who are simply cute?
It's more for people who are cute now than...
By the way, they're scrolling down I guess you can say a wall. And if you've ever been to beach bars here in Florida, specifically, I used to always go to the Swigwam. People that moved here would take their license plates and tack them up on the ceiling. It was like Minnesota. Like, fuck that. I'm in Florida. I got my feet in the sand, a drink in my hand. And there was a whole bunch of these license plates. And I'm sure you've seen that if you're in any destination. Key West has them as well as, you know, I'm sure, you know, Cabo has them, that kind of thing. Well, there's a wall of Zappa plates, F Zappa, not Frank, you know, as in fuck Frank Zappa, but F Zappa, Frank Zappa. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, the show me state and, you know, New York and Minnesota. So let me back it up just a bit so we can get to the, I want to make sure we get the actual audio of the whole interview. Here we go. This is the end of Demento.
History. And that's something that I don't wish to be involved in.
Here we go.
You said rock and roll was only for people who were cute at one point. Do you think rock and roll is still for people who are simply cute?
It's more for people who are cute now than it ever was before, because it's virtually impossible to get a record contract if you look, you know, anywhere between normal and ugly. You may play great and sing great, but if you're not cute, you can't get a contract now, because it's the world of videos. It's easier to get a contract now if you can't sing and you can't play, but you look good, because they can always hire somebody to sing your song for
Millie Vanilli.
You've seen that happening over and over and over again. Every hit that you hear on the record, on the radio, who's really singing it? Who's doing it? Because the person that you see in the...
I think he shows Paula Abdul here.
...video is dancing and looking good with nice clothes and everything, and it's all fake.
Nope.
There's no question about it. Hell in a handbasket.
Frank, you've given up hope.
The Sykes people.
By the way, it pisses me the fuck off to watch interviews with Bill Hicks and interviews with Frank Zappa and watch those guys smoking cigarettes. That's why you died early. God, it pisses me off.
Imagine if Carlin was still around and Zappa was still around and Hicks was still around. Nothing against the Stanhopes and some of the people that are kind of poking the bear, and they are. But, you know, Chris Rock does it a little. But I'm sitting there watching Frank Zappa. I'm like, stop smoking! I think he died of pancreatic cancer. Pretty sure. But yeah, kind of pisses me off. Yeah, this interview really points to the fact that the industry is about cool. It's about hip. It's about cuteness or being pretty or having a great bod. They don't want thought-provoking. Okay, that happened in the late 60s. And I'm going to do a little montage. I'm going to play a little DJ. I'm just going to like seg. I'm going to probably play 5 or 6 of those songs, like 20 seconds of each one to remind you that, yes, before total corporations owned all of the media, shit got through. You know, watch any Vietnam movie and listen to the music they play. Those are songs that made young people think. And Zappa was one of them, man.
Frank, you've given up hope.
The Sykes-Picot arrangement, whatever it was.
Oh, come on.
You know, it's really depressing. If you stop and think about trying to get people to pay attention to what the government is doing or actually taking some personal involvement in it, it's hopeless because even if you got them to register, they don't know enough about what's going on to make a decision after they've registered. So maybe it's for the best if they don't register.
So how do they become more informed? I mean, they become a news addict like you? And that news is so skewed anyway.
Well, I'm watching the same skewed news that's available to everybody else.
What he says here is, I'd like to think I do the same thing. I'm not always great at vetting. I think we do make mistakes. Social media, sometimes we post things that aren't 100% true. But I think if once you put that filter on, if you become Neo in the Matrix and you can do that, I think you can get a better discernment about what is actually happening.
I don't have any kind of secret information that comes filtering into my house. But what I've learned to do over the years is subtract the spin. And so if you flip from channel to channel and see the different ways a story is covered, you can average it out and get some idea of what's going on. And then the fact that certain stories are reported at all is very suspicious. And you learn to spot these, you know, why are they talking about this now?
Let's talk about things on television.
I love these old interviews, not only because it's Zappa, but I'm watching Arsenio Hall. Isn't that cool? I love watching old videos.
CNN. What do you think of CNN?
I started watching CNN when you used to didn't have to pay for it. You know, now they're scrambling it and you have to pay to see all this right-wing hogwash they have.
Now look what he just said. Now people, you know, let's remember what decade we're in. Let's remember what year it is. CNN leans left now. MSNBC leans left. Fox leans right. But CNN, in this interview, so this is what, early 90s? Yeah, CNN selling the war, the first Iraq war. Or is it Boston? You know what? I got to check the date on this. Let me let it roll.
You have to pay to see all this right-wing hogwash they hand you. But CNN started off as a very good idea. You could see news all the time. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it started going more and more and more to the right. And I think that right now, in order to watch CNN and extract news, you have to read between the lines so much and filter out all the speculation that they include in the news stories. I mean, showing the pictures and telling people what happened, cut and dried.
Can you tell this is off of VHS? Can you hear the hum in the background? That means a videotape.
The news. Yeah. When you force a person who is a participant in the news story to speculate on what it really means, I think that's pushing it. And they stay on that stuff too much.
Now, I've actually seen you on CNN.
Yeah, sure. I've been on there. In fact, they interviewed me the other day. I put a thing in my book about CNN and how I think they've gone down the tubes. And they interviewed me about that, and I told the same thing to them. Yeah. But let me give you an example of a CNN technique. Okay, once upon a time, there was a news story that was announced by the anchor like this. Dan Quayle will now be involved more in government policy-making decisions. So what do we see for videotape? Here's George Bush. He's wearing a white shirt. He's got his sleeves rolled up. He's holding a box of popcorn. and he's in a movie theater. And behind him in the darkness is Dan Quayle walking around like a little clone in the background. And right behind George Bush is Dan Aykroyd and Kim Basinger. And obviously they are at the premiere of a movie called My Stepmother is an Alien. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a Weintraub Entertainment Group film. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Weintraub and Mr. Bush are friends. I did some research. I found out how this story came about. George called Weintraub and said, do you have a movie? He needed a little promotional thing to stick on the air. Mm-hmm. This is obviously a plug for a movie, and it's introduced as a story about Dan Quayle. Now, that's an abuse of the news, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's gotten so much worse. It's like... Frank died before infotainment, or died right at the beginning of infotainment. More interviews here. You know, I miss that guy. And like I said, I miss Carlin. Now, George was a little bit older, and Bill Hicks as well. And there were quite a few people that had the backbone and the intellect and the soul. I think it's a combination of those things to really take a stand and go, you know what? We can do better. We don't have to be an empire crushing people. Oh, that's right. I forgot. We make a shit ton of money in an industry called the military industrial complex. If you don't have wars, you can't sell weapons. So they crank up the conflict with the media. And this is what the media does. It's not why they originally came to be, but it is what they've become. You have to be honest about that. All right, let's get more.
Niggas scared of the truth when it looks at you hard.
Yeah, by the way. Who's that?
MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view in the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government want us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality. Fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Martial law is coming soon to the hood to kill yo. While you hanging your flag out your project window. Yeah. The fourth branch of the government, a.k.a. the media, seems to now have a retirement plan for ex-military officials, as if their opinion was at all unbiased. A machine shouldn't speak for men, so shut the fuck up, you mindless drone. And you know it's serious when these same media outfits are spending millions of dollars on a PR campaign to try to convince you they're fair and balanced, when they're some of the most ignorant and racist people giving that type of mentality a safe haven. We act like we share in the spoils of war that they do. We die in wars. We don't get the contracts to make money off them afterwards. We don't get weapons contracts, nigga. We don't get cheap labor for our companies, nigga. We are cheap labor, nigga. Turn off the news and read, nigga. Read.
Mortal Tech, another guy... I posted that Zappa video, the music you heard earlier, and I basically said the wonderfully uncompromising Frank Zappa. That's Immortal Tech, too. He's got, oh my God, he's loaded with talent, and he's smart, and he's a great entertainer. But he knew that if he was going to sign a contract to actually make a ton of money, like, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce, that kind of shit, he knew. He's like, there's no way you're going to stifle me, you know? DC, when we started it, 4 and a half years ago, I asked that question one night. I said, where's that new, you know, I think of 60s protest music about Vietnam. I was like, where are they? We found them. There's plenty of them, but none of them, not one of them will ever get a contract and make all that money. Now, they know that. Or they were hoping there'd be some type of compromise, because all artists want to be recognized and wouldn't hurt to get a paycheck. But no, it's not going to happen that way. And Immortal Tech, you know, I don't even remember, excuse me, sometime between when DC was rolling over at IO and people kept sending me clips of music. I was like, oh, this guy's cool. Then I watched an interview and he's been on Alex Jones. We're going to get to Roddy Piper here in a little while on Alex as well. And we're also going to get to a list of protest songs. Most of them are rock-based, because I think the person that put that list together So we'll get to that. But more Zappa. We got quite a bit of Frank coming up here.
Identity theft is one of the biggest fears facing computer users today. Just ask Jessica Sweetler, who lost her identity from a new threat called phishing.
I was pretty surprised, actually, because the email looked so authentic. And I get things like that all the time.
Jessica is not alone. Phishing is one of the fastest-growing cybercrimes, according to law enforcement.
Viruses spread by email and the damage they can do to your computer.
But now Jim Lawrence tells us a new email threat could attack your bank account.
Identity theft is one of the biggest fears facing computer users today.
Are you getting it?
See how they manipulate? They really just...
You know, I think I'm going to have to read passages in the Quran.
And I think it'd be healthy for me to know a little bit more about their magic book as opposed to, you know, the Gita or, the Bible, all these different magic books. And I don't mean that there's not more going on levels of understanding we don't know, but all these books are written by weak, frail, all men. Name a religious passage written by a woman. That should be a contest. So I get that part of it, and I get the fear, and I get people, the Muslims are coming to get us. Look out. Oh, Jesus, Trump's going to protect us. Yeah. You've been manipulated. Let's get back to Frank. Here we go.
Sexually transmitted disease, particularly amongst homosexuals.
Here we go.
Another project of yours is called ThingFish. Mm-hmm. Which is about, as I understand it, sexually transmitted disease, particularly amongst homosexuals. I mean, I would say it was AIDS, if you like.
Well, in this thing, it's called the mystery disease, but it's quite obvious that it is an AIDS-like disease, and it's been manufactured on purpose, and it's being transmitted on purpose, and the purpose is to rid the planet of certain people. I believe that AIDS, in reality, is not a natural accident. It's not a natural disease that just sort of evolved. Somebody cooked it up. I think that it's something that either escaped from a genetic engineering laboratory or something that was manufactured on purpose in a genetic engineering laboratory to somebody's specifications. I also believe that all the warfare of the future will be conducted with these biological agents, because now that gene splicing is a thing that can be done, it is feasible to consider the preparation of certain diseases which will kill only specific races, nationalities, or people with certain interests. Because you can tailor the disease to attack certain things in certain categories.
Well, these are very serious allegations, Frank. I mean, what actually makes you believe this? Do you have hard and fast evidence that this is the case, or is it just something that you've theorized?
No, this is just the opinion of an aging buffoon. You know, just think nothing of it.
I love that sarcasm. See, that's how you plant that seed. Really? Is that what you think? Oklahoma City, yep, okay, have you seen a noble lie? Google it. Bam, plant the seed. That's what media should do. And when I mean that, I mean corporate media, but let's face it. Corporate media exists for two reasons. One, to make a whole lot of money, because in between your favorite show, there's commercials. And two, to reinforce or contradict your beliefs and thoughts. Now, can Frank, at this time of this interview, produce an actual document that says, let's say the AIDS virus was engineered and it was designed to kill more African Americans or the gay population and so on and so forth, because there are so many more veins inside the anus than there are in the transmitted disease, and we all know the history of AIDS. So, is that happenstance? Or is he making a point? It's unprovable, but you know what? It's not necessarily unbelievable.
So you think that possibly America or any other country in the world could increase its power and its standing internationally by actually utilizing these agents?
Let's look at the world the way it really is. Government is a joke. Government.
He makes a good... really good point here. For those of you that are fearing World War III, and for those of you that are worried about, it's going to be a nuclear war, and, you know, maybe your Bible is like, I told you it was coming. I told you, man. The Bible says so. You know what? I think the Bible's a playbook for the people running the gig. They're like, if you want people to keep believing what they believe, then you need to reinforce those beliefs with actual transgressions or events that are literally laid out in a book. And they go, I told you. Take them home, Frank.
Don't do anything. That's like a cardboard cutout that hides where the real machinery is. The world is a place that does business. The world is run by multinational businesses that mostly sell weapons to each other. Then you have sugar business, oil business, coal business, you know, business. And when the guys who run these things say jump, all governments jump. And it's foolish to consider the possibility of nuclear war because from a business standpoint, it's impractical. It stops all business. So the way you have to look at it is the chances are much more likely that the sales will continue of missile delivery systems, but what will be in the warheads will not be things that destroy real estate. It's much more practical to think of missiles going someplace and putting out chemicals or microbes that enable the one party to subjugate the other party by controlling its labor force while leaving the buildings intact. So you've subjugated them and now you got a bonus, you have their machinery, you got this, you got that. And I believe that there's somebody sitting in an office someplace that's working on it, then that's the practical way to do it. You can scream about nuclear war and you have people running around with signs and stuff like that, but I don't believe there will ever be a nuclear war, because it's just impractical from a business sense. Meanwhile, the companies that are building delivery systems are making plenty of money, billions of dollars, because the money goes into small arms delivery systems, medium-sized arms. Their commerce is still going on, and that's why they're alive. That's what they love to do.
Remember the neutron bomb? Are you old enough to remember that? See, when that happened, I swear to God, I was an idiot. Such a douche. I wasn't a douche. I just wasn't paying attention. I was like, oh, wow, there's a neutron. It won't, so it won't blow up buildings. It'll just kill people. Oh, cool. So if we need, if the evil Russians invade us, duck and cover under your desk, Mabel B. Avery, fifth grade, running drills. If the Russians invade us, you know, we can drop bombs on them and it won't blow anything up. It'll just kill them. They'll like drop dead. And then we'll just go over there and take their apartments and condos. People sat in a room somewhere during that time and said, let's design a bomb that doesn't destroy real estate or property. Now, think about that meeting for a second. I'm leaning against the wall. I'm like leaning back on the wall. And I'm looking at a table. It's like 12 guys in there, and they're like, no, you can't use that. That'll blow up the factory. We want that machinery. We just need to kill the people. So was Frank right about AIDS? Was he right about? And this is after the neutron bomb was mentioned. I mean, that was the 80s, I believe. So you start to think. Not, I don't think at his level, but you think, wow. Who cares about the goddamn building? You know, if you look at World War II, man, everything in Europe was smashed, and Germany, and Japan got an ass kicking. Everything from napalm to nukes. We didn't care about it back then. Now we're like, oh, geez, we need to refine this war process because if, damn, what if we could kill the people and keep everything standing upright? Oh, my God. People sat in a room and thought that out.
Sure that everybody must know by now, maybe it's a little late for some of you to know, that there is a some sort of strange national effort to bring censorship to first the rock and roll industry, then to the video industry. Then the National Council of Churches wants to have ratings on normal television programming. And then it'll get to books, and then it'll get to any kind of sign you want to carry around the street, and then you'll all be wearing the same color clothes. And
I don't think you're all going to learn how to speak Chinese, but I think that they all want you to sort of worship the same God.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, what do you say after that other than, yeah, I wish he didn't smoke. I wish he took better care of his body. Who knows? Maybe he didn't get cancer. Maybe he lives. I know he named his daughter's Moon Unit and Zappa. And I'm sorry. God, what's his son's name? Dweezil. These are my kids, Moon Unit and Dweezil. Can we come to the family picnic? I mean, sometimes when you're very esoteric and you're completely outside the realm of what we would call normality, and you imagine his wife pushing out, what do you want to name it? Dweezil. Fucking Dweezil. I'm pushing a Dweezil through my, oh my God. Oh, she's a beautiful girl. What are you going to name her? Moon Unit. I'm sorry, Mr. Zappa. I misunderstood you. I thought you said Moon Unit. Yeah, put it on the birth certificate. you know, that's what people would attack if they wanted to go after intellect. Was, oh yeah, you named your kid Moon Unit. How much credibility do you have? So, here we go. More Frank.
I believe that most people in the United States are smart enough to realize that if a parent does not want their children to hear objectionable material, they have many alternatives. One, don't buy a record at all. Two, shop in the children's section. Get your 8 or 9-year-old child a Smurf record or something like that. Three, buy instrumental music. Have you ever thought of letting your children hear jazz or classical music?
See what he talks about? It's not the music, because music is a wonderful left-right brain connector. It's proven, it's scientific, it is beautiful, it is part of the matrix, and we all love music. The lyrics and how they're presented is, he literally said, what's wrong with an instrumental record?
You hear jazz or classical music?
Now, here's what he was up against.
Voluntarily labeling in no way infringes upon First Amendment rights. Labeling is little more than truth in packaging, by now a time-honored principle in our free enterprise system. And without labeling, parental guidance is virtually impossible.
What I suspect is that because rock and roll music reaches so many different people, and it does reach them.
By the way, just a side note for us radio geeks. When I first worked in rock radio, the phrase rock and roll was prevalent because it was Alan Freed, I think, in the 50s that invented that phrase. So the 50s, late 50s, early 60s, all the 60s, all the 70s. You get into the 80s, rock and roll, rock and roll. It's like Spinal Tap. Rock and roll, or Airheads. Rock and roll. I remember sitting in a meeting with my program director at the time, Brad Harden. We're gonna drop the phrase and roll, because the old 98 Rock bumper stickers said 98 Rock, pure rock and roll, pure rock and roll. Now they just say pure rock. That's marketing. That's understanding that the next generation of people don't want to be associated with rock. That's rock and roll. That's my dad's music. That's how things change. They change in boardrooms with consultants in research and focus groups. This man was a genius.
On a repetitive level, and it does form an important part of their life. If you can control that medium, you are going to be able to control the ideas which go out to those young people. And there are some people who don't want to have young people thinking too much, because you got to keep them really stupid to buy certain products and to vote for certain people. You have the right to write.
Okay. You don't want them thinking. Technically, you do want them thinking. You don't want them introspectively thinking about things that are going on the planet or their hometown or anything. You know, John Cougar Mellencamp and Willie Nelson sung about the struggling farmers. And Farm Aid pops up. Many artists talk about starvation in Africa. And Live Aid pumps, you know, rises from the ashes. I'm sorry, that's the wrong way to put it. It sprouts. That's the power of music. That's the power of thought. That is the beautiful part of an industry that I was proud to be in and somewhat ashamed to be in, the latter part towards the end. This is why Mitt Romney bought a failing industry, was so he could direct on 1,200 very powerful stations the message. The Dixie Chicks were huge, hugely talented, very popular. They crossed over into Top 40 and contemporary hit radio. They just weren't a soul country, quote, country, unquote, act. And one concert live during the Bush administration, Natalie goes, we're not from Texas. Basically, you know what? I don't agree with my president. Here's my free speech. What did Clear Channel do to them? Now, they're so good, and the residual checks and everything, and they've had a renaissance. I was working on the air, and I worked at a classic rock station, so I didn't have to worry about whether we were playing them or not. But there was a Top 40s radio station down the hallway, and I remember seeing the memo from Clear Channel saying, we are dropping the Dixie Chicks. Just think about that for a second. You're allowed to sing, you're allowed to be talented, but if you fucking speak out, if you say something that's thought-provoking or controversial, we'll drop you like a used condom. Mitt Romney bought a company that was failing financially. When he bought them, I think they were at, what, $14 billion debt? Now they're at, what, $22, $24 billion? Still owns them. Why the fuck would you do that? If you're just a businessman, why would you do that? Unless you needed those transmitters to control the message. More Frank, then we're going to get to a list of some tunes. Then we'll get to Roddy Piper speaking out about a movie. And by the way, movies, you know, Oliver Stone dances around things now. I'm like, how many residual checks do you need to grow a set of balls? Your son, who is sitting down with Roddy Piper during this interview, isn't made. I'm sure he's made because he'll inherit a shit ton of money. But Sean Stone has the balls that I wish Oliver Stone completely had. He's done controversial movies about. And he's also done a wonderful series of called Untold History of the United States. Google it, find it, watch it. I'm not saying the man hasn't contributed to the conversation. What I'm saying is, at this point in your life, when you've done all these things, do you still need to suck Hollywood's tit? Because that's, come on, man. Go out swinging. More Frank.
As an industry providing entertainment for people who need to be entertained, okay, it's doing its job, but I have a different view of music. I think that it has an aesthetic importance that goes beyond chart placement. And the business of music is all about this fake list of who sold what. And the whole idea of selling large numbers of items in order to determine whether or not the item has any quality to it is what's really repulsive about it. And the function that is required of you as a musician in the United States basically is please be a jukebox. It's not even please, just be a jukebox. We want you to play whatever it is you just put out on your record, and we want it to sound just like the record. And so,
by the way, that is part of what I think I mentioned it earlier. I'm not sure, but I think someone asked Zappa about live performances. In other words, picture the song, you know, picture a Beach Boys song, bum, bum, round, round, I get around. Okay. You go from the beginning of that song or some 70s hit song, or I don't care what it is you believe in, like Stanhope. That's why I use that opening piece is here's the hook. Here's the chorus. Repeat.
And you'll see it. If you look up lyrics on like a, you know, lyrics.com or all these, you'll see the word repeat. Now, I love it. I grew up with the transistor radio in my ear and, you know, being able to sing those songs. But you know what? He's so right. Why should I perform my song? Whatever the song is, watch out where the Huskies go. Don't you eat that yellow snow. Bam. Let's do it a little different. Let's change the bass line to this. So the next performance and the next performance and the next performance are never the same. Now, that goes against the way we learn music, hear music, and sing music. But this man was so, he just didn't want to conform. He was like, I'm not going to do my songs over and over and over again the same way. I will die as a being, and I'm sure my bandmates will do it as well. That's why we don't do that. And that's really what he's getting at.
This desire on the part of the audience to have live in-person replication of freeze-dried material is one of the forces that led to the Milli Vanilliism that we now see, because a lot of the contemporary albums, you can't play it live. You have to just have a track playing in the background and, you know, fake it all.
Musicians will always make music. However, the people who make records are not always musicians. You know, sometimes they're just plain show people. Or in the case of some of the punk groups, they're guys off the street that were gathered together by a boutique owner. You know? The fact of the matter is that advertised properly, people will buy anything.
Don't completely agree with him. I think punk's about anger. And it's about energy and the release of that, early mosh pits. We're going to get to a rock list. It's mostly rock of some of the songs you might want to Google about bands that you may not know of or already know of, that it actually might be a protest song.
See? And now that the lesson of punk has been learned, that you can sell anything to anybody, there's no telling what the next trend will be.
What about the music of today? What direction is it going in?
Going to the bank.
What a great quote.
Is that a creative assessment?
A great quote.
Is that good for music? That
it's not good for music.
Oh, by the way,
the accountants love it.
I really should.
How about radio?
Same thing.
Can you name who's interviewing him right now? So many people at talk shows back then. It was like, and they do now. There's just a new list of people, and some of them deserve that host table, and some are like. You know, I played Arsenio earlier. Who is this guy?
Are you at all embittered by the fact that the same people get played on commercial radio?
Who do you know? Who is that guy? And by the way, I need to back this up and just let it flow, because his answers are just like, it's almost like he prepared his answers. I know he didn't, but he knows how to, you know, if someone is setting you up, you know how to just pull the rug out from under them over and over again. I got to get back to this. Hang on a second. You know, I really want this to flow, and I'll be back after it's done. Here we go.
Music of today,
Alan,
what direction
Thicke.
Is it going in?
It's going to the bank.
is that a creative assessment? Is that good for music?
It's not good for music, but the accountants love it.
Mm-hmm. How about radio?
Same thing.
Are you at all embittered by the fact that the same people get played on commercial radio?
I don't listen to the radio.
So you have nothing to be...
You guys shouldn't either. There's nothing in it for you.
What about television? Watch much television?
No. I like the news. I watch CNN most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Did the news ever get you down? I mean, that's not a...
No, I like to watch the news because I don't like people very much. And when you watch the news, you know, if you ever had an idea that people were really terrible, you can watch the news and know that you're right. Let's ask ourselves, what was he doing during the war?
He's holding a Reagan head.
Politics is the entertainment branch of industry.
Now, he said industry, but there's a famous meme that says politics is the entertainment branch of the military-industrial complex. because if you need to sway someone, you know, remember, okay, we were afraid of the Russians. Then we were afraid of Al-Qaeda. Then we were afraid of ISIS. Now they're building up the fear of the Russians again. And of course, with everything that's transpired in the last month or two, the Muslim fear. What is the common denominator amongst all of them? War? Weapon sales? Resource allocation? That's too kind a word. The stealing of resources? The elimination of either a race or religion? It's not like this shit hasn't happened, for the last 5,000 years. But he says industry. What he meant to say, sorry, Frank. What he did say is, yeah, politics is the entertainment division of the military-industrial complex. Military-industrial complex is a trillion-dollar industry when you add all the different, you know, from Northrop Grumman and so on and so forth, all the different profiteering that takes place by selling death and selling weapons. And we arm these third world countries and we go, they're dangerous, blow them up. So we sell them weapons, blow them up, and rebuild their countries. All three of those is profit.
Well, I was headed over at Bitburg and...
They do more to entertain us than to serve us. It seems that the problem with government as an institution is uniformly bad worldwide. It may be the only thing that binds all nations together is the incompetence of all of their governments.
That's pretty smart.
It's not that they make you think they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And that's the problem with American politics, because qualified people don't run usually.
Now think about that for a second. I'm not playing a video from 2013. I'm playing a video that is 25 years old. And if you go back another 20 years before that, you have people speaking out against the war machine in the 60s. I got to do a montage here. I'm going to have some fun with it. We'll load it here in a second. Actually, I'll load it up now.
Down in my heart, she was mine.
The unions are the mafia, which is the CIA, which is the Catholic Church, which is the government, which is, what's the difference? It's corrupt. It's the same guys pulling these strings. You know, one day pulls a string and poof, this lamp comes out. You know, the next day pulls a string and there's a missile coming out. The way I look at it, take a look at the people who have been presidents in the United States so far. Could I do any worse? If I didn't know shit from Shinola, could I do any worse?
If you would compare the president's subtle, what would be the main differences you could work out?
I work more hours. And I'm awake.
I don't even care whether they listen to what comes out. I'm concerned with getting it out. Just giving people the option of something other than the norm of American entertainment.
There are certain people that like to be anti-establishment because they wear it like a new coat of paint. And the ones I refer to constantly on the show have never been that guy. Now, George Carlin in the 50s and 60s was just getting into television. He actually had a partner he worked with. But eventually, George, maybe he found a market. Maybe he said, you know what? There's a lot of people leaning left. The Vietnam War's going on. I'm going to speak out about that. I can't speak to 100% truth that he wasn't thinking about dollars. Hicks. There's always a market, and Hicks does a beautiful, you know what? I think I'll play that piece today, too. It's beautiful. Next up, I'm going to get rid of that. Next up is, and I haven't played an AJ piece in a long time because I started to see him lean again towards his market.
You know, I don't know. What does he have? 20 employees? I don't know his infrastructure, but I do know it's not a guy on Access TV with a blue curtain behind him anymore. There's jobs, and quite a few people have left and speak out. But essentially, it's a, you know, the mini empire. It's like some guy who builds a boat business or some guy who's a construction engineer. And suddenly he's building buildings. Alex Jones built a media audience and he markets it. So, of course, you're going to kiss their ass. Of course, you're going to appeal to, again, like radio, P1s. P1s are soccer moms that listen to a adult contemporary. P1s are 18 to 34 males that listen to a rock station. This is marketing. It's entertainment. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Roll the windows down, take the top off, play whatever you need to play. But seek something deeper also. It doesn't mean you get rid of being an NFL fan. Oh, it's just bread and circus. Technically, to some people that are absolutely brain dead, fucking A. Can't argue with it. But to people like me and many other people, hey, it's a diversion. I played sports my whole life. I appreciate what these guys do. Yeah, it's a little violent, but it's, no one's dying. No one's getting a cluster bomb or napalm dropped on their head. No one's dealing with depleted uranium. So have that balance. And back to a movie that won't go away. Animal Farm. 1984. This movie is kind of, as Roddy Piper will say, this is a long interview and I haven't listened to all of it, but I think we're only going to go through about 5-10 minutes here. Here we go.
All right, folks, we're brought in with a little bit of the theme music from They Live. The really good part is where it goes, dun-om, dump, dump. But I tell you, it is one of my favorite all-time movies, and it really gets you to think outside the box. And, of course, I grew up watching him on television as well. It's super exciting to have Rowdy Roddy Piper on with us today from Los Angeles there in Sean Stone's living room. Both guys are with us. And, you know, it's great. I've gotten to be good friends with Jesse Ventura. I know these two guys are friends as well or have been in the past. And so now I get to talk to both of them. And Mr. Piper, formerly, of course, born Roderick George Toombs. It is great to...
Here we came out in the kilt and the bagpipes.
...to have you on the worldwide broadcast, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. Would you mind just introducing me every place I go? Fantastic introduction.
Well, it's great to have you on. I tell you, so much is happening in the world, but let's get into They Live. You've been in a lot of movies, but what's your take on the 25th anniversary of They Live?
It's really interesting. The movie They Live, when it was made, was more about Reaganomics at the time. But with the, as the music lulls you to sleep, conspiracies, one of the things that the movie has done is it's taken on a life of its own. It never gets old as we see the world evolve and try to make us a little chip. The same thing's happening over and over again. You watch They Live and it gives you, it's kind of like the cliff notes for what's going on.
Did I mention Fahrenheit 451? There's a meme I posted on my Facebook page. Both Orwell novels, Animal Farm, 1984, and Ray Bradbury did Fahrenheit 451. And then there's this movie that kind of snuck in there.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, you've got the part where the drone flies over you, and you go, hello there, my little friend.
Drones! Gee! Where'd they come from?
And now I've actually videotaped drones twice in Austin watching people at the park. Now I'm actually living and They Live.
Yes. And it's an awkward place to live, I'll be honest with you. John Carpenter, when we shot the scene with the homeless people, he actually used the homeless people there. John is a big activist, you know, and I give him all the respect in the world for that. And you know, turning out and showing what the world become. I don't know why America has homeless people. It's terrible, but
well, because there's no profit in it. I can go to war with some bullshit country. First of all, we sell them weapons, profit. Then we drop hell on their heads, bombs, guns, bullets, profit. Then we go in and rebuild their country, profit. Homeless people helping the homeless, helping the hungry, helping the starving, teaching everything from irrigation and gathering solar energy and helping people rise above, hardly any profit in it. That's why. We got to rise above this shit. We really do.
Also, another thing we had to do was pay off the gangs so they wouldn't come and wreck our trailers. So there was, you know, little conspiracy, little gangs for warfare. Then there would be the homeless people we'd take care of. And it really became a venture of love to a certain point and trying to do the right thing. Again, I give all the credit to John on that.
What is your favorite part of the film?
Well, not the fight, I'll tell you that. That was a long fight. My favorite part of the film? I think when the character Nada looks out and he says, I believe in America. I think that's probably the biggest statement of the entire movie. One thing, for instance, when we would go to press conferences, you know, if you happen to be wearing something like a Rolex, we took it off. Or, you know, we, John and I both drive Cadillacs, trying to buy American and keep the country safe. And in that shot, you had all the skyline of Los Angeles and the character Nada, which means nothing, obviously, which means nothing. The thing that was...
Interesting name for a character. Nothing.
Interesting with Nada staring over the L.A. skyline was you didn't know anything about him. You didn't know where he came from. He wore a wedding ring. You didn't know why. You didn't know where he was going. He's that lost American wandering around, and he still looks out over the skyline of Los Angeles, and he says a very profound statement. I believe in America. I do, too.
I think, you know, America's a name. Constitution is a way of living. The Magna Carta kicked that in. As we develop and we grow and our consciousness is raised to higher and higher levels, when people talk about this country, by the way, I think we deserve Trump. I don't mean he's a punishment. I don't mean that I like him or dislike him. That will all play out in history. What I do like, as I said in the opening monologue of the show, is I am happy that more people are engaged and are paying attention. Now, when you're 22 and there's a chick with big tits at a bar and all you want to do is get laid, you get a hall pass. You don't need to think about America. Because that was me, and that's a lot of young people. But when you start reaching 30, 35 years old, if you're not starting to at least question, am I alive? What is life? Does life exist? What is religion? What is government? What is something we call an economy or capitalism or socialism? You know, if you're not starting to do those things, you're the problem. At that age, Roddy Piper made a movie, and I don't know if they were well aware. He said at the beginning of this, it was against Reaganomics. By the way, Reaganomics doesn't work. Rich people at the top of the pyramid. Oh, they got so much money. It's just going to trickle down. No, they keep most of it. Some of it trickles down. Some new enterprise. Some new jobs. But not the way Reagan described it. It's been proven. So when they made this movie, it wasn't as much about the way things are in 2017 as they were in the mid-80s.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite lines is, because I feel like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signal's broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it. And they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
No, without a doubt.
It's at the end of the fight.
No, and by the way, I'm a big booster of you. I've watched some of your Taking Care of America and watched you in a hotel room while the buzzing was going on. And I think you do a terrific job. This is the kind of thing that needs to be exposed to America. They need to know, you know, they're trying to put us to sleep. I'm a born rebel. I can't help myself. I think Sean might be too.
Rowdy, Roddy Piper is a born rebel? You got to be kidding.
Well, best guess. Best guess at it, bud. And, you know, I've got four children, all born here in America. I've got two son-in-laws. One of my son-in-laws is a captain in the Army, been wounded twice. My other son-in-law is a Green Beret. You know what? With They Live and the mind control and everything that's going on, there's one thing that that can escape people. If you don't have somebody personal to you that has been harmed by not only by the conspiracies and all the tributaries that lead to that, or run off that. If you don't have someone close to you shaking at nighttime because he got blown up twice, went over again and got blown up two times, then it doesn't mean so much to you. You know, every time we want to go to war, send your boy to war. My boy's already been there. And it becomes with the mind control, trying to dumb down the society, drugging society, putting stuff. I mean, it's a major, major conspiracy for a new world order.
On the wing, and you may not know why. didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew she could make me happy. She could make me happy. Flowers in her hair.
You're toting, and even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me
bridge of sights, to rest my eyes in shades of green, under dreaming spires, to Ichiku Park, that's where I've been.
What did you do there?
I got high.
What did you feel there?
They slip past a Goldie because all these record labels back then were owned by small businessmen. And when I mean small, I mean it's not like they didn't make some money. But what they were able to do was put thought-provoking lyrics into a song or a message or a concert. And they literally stopped a war. Now it's 2017. It's not 1972. I get that part, but you know what? And by the way, way to kill the arts, Trump. You know, thought-provoking arts. I get it. When you shut down a society, that's what you do. What's it sound like now? It's a little different.
It's all too beautiful. It's all.
COC, I love this band. Fucking love COC. Vote with a bullet. Well, it's technically not today. It's a little while ago, but you know what? 1.6 million views. I'm good with that. Now, this might be because the fucking tune rocks. Yeah! I can't speak after this scream. All right, we'll use this as the soundtrack. You know, COC's done some stuff. Megadeth, We the People, New World Order, Dave Mustaine, he's awake. Aaron Lewis, Country Boy, Megadeth, Holy Wars, except New World coming. Metallica, Don't Tread on Me. Living Color, Cult of Personality, and Pride. Cult of Personalities. I used to play the shit out of that song on the radio, and I never even thought about the lyrics. Drowning Pool of Bodies, Creed, America. It's being done. A little bit more subliminal, I would say. I would think it is. You know? Sons of Liberty, We the People. Kiss does a song called War Machine. The Fix did a song called Red Skies at Night. The Hooters did a song called All You Zombies. That's 80s shit. Winds of Change, Scorpions. Godsmack, I Stand Alone. Pantera, Domination. We all know about Rage Against the Machine. That's pretty much their entire mantra. Queensryche, Revolution Calling. Avenged Sevenfold, Critical Acclaim. Sepultura, Refuse and Resist. Think about this shit. How many people are speaking out? Now, it's a niche audience. Seven Dust, the end is coming. Well, thanks for the uplifting prognostication. I know. I'm the same way. The point I'm trying to make is no matter how hard a corporation or corporations or military-industrial complex wants to control the message, people like me say, fuck you, and sneak it past the goalie. That's how it works. It's always going to be that way.
Dangerous conversation.
And the oligarchy doesn't get it. Their realities are completely whacked. So they don't get it. They don't see you and me as equals. We're little worker bees to them. We're irritants. This show is an irritant to them. You and me and other people listening to the show are going, you know what? You're nodding a lot. You're kind of, doesn't mean you agree with everything we're saying here. It just means you're like, yeah, I get that. I get that. Because we're connecting on what we call the 80-20. We all connect on that 80%. We all have exactly in common. We're all born and we're all dying. And I know I got that in common with everybody. And everything else that happens in between is feeling and love and pain and joy. I know I got that in common with everybody. And I just want to be happy. I don't need to own this world or run this world. But I deserve my right to be happy. And if someone's literally taking that from me, I am going to say, not on my watch. Get the big bird. Not on my watch. It's not happening.
RadioIO.com.
That was a good time. And I got a couple Twitter mentions or people asking me about, like, Dave Forto Jones and Ferris and Rob Revere, God, so many of them, Richard X, the one and only Ferris, and Sven, wonderful intellects and great guys. I will guarantee you that you will find those people on this show in 2017. Under what circumstances, I am not sure of. But what I do understand is there is nothing better than hanging with like-minded people, not zombies. They're all individuals, and I don't agree with everything they say, or they don't agree with everything I say. But you know what? We question the matrix, and that is the beauty of new media. And they can't control it anymore, and they want to. But they've created a Pandora's box, and we're seeing both the up and downside to that. In other words, we're seeing anger. We're seeing people defending their right on the right or their beliefs on the left. And you know what? If you look at it from a spiritual level, you realize it's all part of a beautiful process that is unfolding in our lifetime. In other words, we're part of that. But, you know, Galileo got locked in a tower for 17 years because he said the earth revolves around the sun. So none of this shit's new. People questioning things will always take place. And that's what DC has always been about. Fun show. I hope you guys were motivated. Go out and do something good. Walk the walk. You know, feed the poor. Clothe the cold. And do something that makes you smile at the end of the day. Fuck it. Open a door for somebody. Talk to you next week.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.